The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Davy Murray is my name. Rudy Hanamji. Rudolph Hanamji.
Good morning. Good morning, Davy. And yes, good morning to our listeners and viewers.
So I got it correct. Hanamji.
You did. After three to five years.
Been a minute, but I finally got
it. That means we'll get it right one day as a country.
Well, you boy, there's hope. If Davy Murray could get something right, there's hope. There is hope. Because my ball head harder. I pressure with me, but at my age. But we can get through. Anyway, Ruben Harry Victor is on the line with us this morning. And for those of you who don't know, he is the chair of RT's Coalition of Trinidad and Tobago, the ACTT. And I just read his accolades and what Ruben Harry Victor is into. Very, very multifaceted and multicultural individual who has made his valiant contributions to the arts and the art form here in Trinidad and Tobago. So before we get into the Ruby coming on and I just, easing off the R&Rs to rest and reflect with each other, let's talk a little bit very quickly on the I&D economy as we get into what we are seeing happening. Rudy, from your standpoint, give me some updates as to your road tour that's happening right now, where you went. You remember last week we talked about you were heading down to Chagaramas. You came from Point Fortin. You was in Grandy before that. Let's hear what is happening. Give me an update, please.
Davy, we are so encouraged and inspired by what we've met along this road show. As you said, from as far as Point Fortin to Chagaramas and Sangre Grande, this morning we're actually coming to you live from the National Academy for the Performing Arts because we're meeting with the creative sector, which is why we're going to have this conversation with Ruben Harry. All in all, Davy, every region across Trinidad and Tobago, the SMEs in particular, are ready to do their part to invest, to identify ways to diversify their portfolios so that they can assist with socioeconomic transformation. And interestingly, Davy, tourism, that sector, in each region, we have discovered projects that the private sector groups are very much interested in investing in. And it just shows, it demonstrates firsthand that Trinidad and Tobago has untapped ecotourism and other subsectors that we have never truly leveraged. And for your persons like yourself and I who visit our country, we know that there's so much out there for staycations and local tourism, but there's immense opportunity to attract international visitors, not just at carnival time. So those have been some of the main takeaways, the inspiration, the interest, and the fact that people are very optimistic, Davy, about what we can do for our country.
It is very encouraging to hear about the optimism that you are experiencing from this tour that you and PSOT are currently engaged in, because, that level of optimism shows that we still have a hope. And my mother always used to say, where there's life, there's hope. So there's still hope. People are still brimming with a sense of hopefulness that we can make these changes and effective changes as well. Because it's one thing. Now, I'm not interested in a 360-degree turn. That is a circle. I'm looking for a 180. So we're going down our trajectory of one route, of one way, and we need to deviate from that. You know what? That direction is wrong. I'm not even interested in a full 180, but I'm interested in another route that is going to take me in somewhere positive. Because if I'm coming down from east to west and I make a 180,
yes,
I'm going back up east.
Well, the point you're making is that we need to pivot. We cannot expect a different outcome from doing things the same way.
That is it. All coming through that wants to join the conversation. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Navy.
Good morning, sir.
To promote tourism in this country, every citizen has to chip in. And I'll tell you how they can chip in. Stop littering. When you go by the beach, carry a garbage bag. Same thing by the rivers. Because I used to frequent these places and people used to use the beach and the rivers, whether it be Maracas, Tamea, or wherever. and then leaving the litter right there. That is a real nasty habit people have in this country, that they feel so entitled to throw the litter on the ground, in the drain, all over the place. And when you tell them about it, they want to ask any if you want to get some slap or some kind of shipping. Take care.
All right, thank you very much. So littering,
that is an important point that the caller raised. To make the pivot that you are referring to requires as many hands on deck as possible. We cannot wait for the government and the public sector and the technocrats. We cannot wait for only the private sector. Each individual citizen has to make up their mind, what is the country that we want to build? And we speak about productivity, ethics, littering, patriotism, entrepreneurship. And I always use you as an example, and the media in particular. You get up every morning to host this program at a very early hour of the day. And you are an example of how productive and disciplined people can be. And that is what we saw across Trinidad and Tobago, DP. Hard-working entrepreneurs who employ persons who get up every morning and open their business places, and they have continued to invest. Now, yes, there has been fallout. Yes, there is frustration and some apathy. There's a lot of disappointment in the country, and people are feeling the strain. However, they understand that we finally cannot only look to energy to save us anymore. We have to diversify into sectors such as maritime, the cultural industries, and opportunities for light manufacturing and energy services to ensure that, Davey, we can continue to benefit as the younger generations can benefit the way we did from the revenues that this country generated. So all is not lost, but citizens across the country have to hold each other accountable. If you see someone littering, you should have the strength to speak to that person and say that what you're doing is wrong, because there might be tourists on this beach or on this hiking trail, and we must love our country. And in the business sector, we must look at each other and say, why are you coming to work late? Why are you not giving your full potential? We have to work together to keep this company going, because it pays our salaries. And when we make salaries, we can go out into the economy and purchase other goods and services. And that is the benefit of having business development. So you are right on track, as is the caller.
On the heels of what you just said about business owners holding their staff accountable for their tardiness, I want to take you straight to the situation with one business owner having returned to his office after, you know, a bit of legal problems that he encountered. I looked at videos, and the welcome that he received walking through those doors from different sectors in his organization. So I looked at from the janitor to the security personnel, the receptionist at the door, to up to the management. Imagine walking into an office and every single department in your company that you're loved by somebody in the area. The janitors love you. The security personnel, you know, they look out for you. I mean, that means that you're a hell of a boss. So even if I want to hold you accountable for your tardiness and pull up on your socks, I must also be able to pat you on the shoulder and say, hey, job well done.
Yes.
I must also be able to reward you and say, you know what, for coming in for the last few days, I noticed you. I want to encourage you to keep up the good work. I can give you an incentive, something of to show you that your value is more than just a thank you and a shake hand. But here is this,
yes,
a token. Is. You know, these are things that PSOT could look into as you have your conversations with the private sector, especially the SMEs who wish to, and those who already big on the commercial food chain.
All at different levels. Now, we understand not every company can offer the same level of remuneration.
True.
But when we speak about compensation,
doesn't mean money.
We speak exactly. We talk about a total compensation package. And in total compensation, you are so right. You can find different ways to compensate people for how they are investing their time and expertise in ensuring that your company is successful. there are opportunities for you to provide benefits, non-financial benefits. There are opportunities for you to recognize high performers. So there are many methodologies that we are advocating for at all levels. Look at the size of your company, but you have to be more innovative. You may not have the financial wherewithal to increase salaries, but how do you treat your staff? Are you investing in their families? Are you offering bursaries for their children to study? Are you offering free training? That is how you retain talent, DV, especially in a competitive environment like this. So you are hitting a number of nails on their head this morning, and we join with you in advocating for proper treatment of staff at all levels, because our human capital remains our greatest source of competitive advantage.
And when we talk about eye on the economy, by doing that, the economy continues to thrive, it continues to grow, it continues to foster less of a brain drain and encourage persons to want to be part of that organization. Yes. Now, here's a very cheap way to do this. Robidari Victor is on the line and ready to join us. You have WhatsApp groups in your organization from management level coming down. Something happens to one of your staff members this morning. You notice this outstanding, this piece of job that was done. You know, they went a little bit above and beyond. You don't have the, as Rudy now mentioned, the financial where it all took. But you know what? I'm in the group chat. Good morning. This morning I noticed, Rudy, I want to thank you very much for at least, you know, stepping outside and taking up this mantle for us this morning. The company truly recognizes it. We appreciate it. And, you know, thank you. As much as we can reprimand employees when they we can also pass the flowers when they do well. With that being said, let's get and welcome Robidari Victor. Rudy, Robidari, good morning, sir.
Morning, Trinidad and Tobago. Morning, guys.
Right. Glad to have you on the program this morning as we discuss issues with you. Rudy, it's your show.
Thank you very much, Davey. And good morning, Robidari. Thank you for joining us. I know you're making
other speakers, I should say. So I'm only hearing you, so I can't hear what they're saying.
Oh, you're unable to hear Rudy.
Yeah, I can't hear any callers.
Okay, body callers.
I don't know
what is happening. Let me ask you.
I'll rely on you to report.
So, Davey,
what they say
you
can
feel free.
Okay.
Davey, I trust you. You can feel free to engage with Robidari. As you know, you're accustomed speaking with him about creative sector issues. And I will just provide some context for the listeners. When I met with you weeks ago, I promised you that when we said private sector, we did not only mean large established conglomerates. We are representing sole traders and individuals who are entrepreneurs in their own right. And as someone in the media space, you know full well that an artist, a painter, a filmmaker, a singer, they are all entrepreneurs. They are sole traders, animators. So today we are putting a spotlight on that sector, because when we speak about diversification and we're finally taking tourism seriously, inside of tourism, you cannot get away from the creative sector and the cultural arts. Our tourism product is unique because of all of those individuals and yourselves included in the media practitioning world. So I give that as context, and Robidari will be joining us this morning at NAPA to consult with those stakeholders and to define projects that can lift the tide for all ships.
All right. So with that being said, Robidari, let's kick it off with this question with you this morning. I am part of the film industry. I have produced at least four successful television series in this country. I'm part of it. I started off with a series entitled Jobs. The acronym stands for J-O-B-S, Just Occupations Beyond Scope. And that show aired on CNC3, two successful seasons, which was geared towards me and a co-host actually taking on these supposedly menial jobs where persons take for granted. The pump attendant, you know, they pump your gas in your nice expensive car, you sit down there in your throne. And these people are working, providing a service. The grave digger, one of the most... I mean, that when I went to the cemetery to dig that grave, that man, and listen to the stories that they go through, they provide a service. We was in their office space, the zookeeper and others. Then there was a show, Trini Smarts, that aired on Synergy.
That sounds really good. That's an excellent show.
That was, I did that for two successful seasons. Then there was Trini Smarts, a nice game show I created that I used to walk through the streets. I mean, it wasn't a creation of Davey Murray. It's just ideas taken from other shows in the U.S. and fuse it. And then there was Breaking Dawn that I championed and pioneered and also hosted. That's another product of another station. And then there was Bling My Wedding. Seeing three successful seasons. So I understand the film industry. Where are we dropping the ball, especially with economic growth and stability? And I want to say good morning to Film TT. Ruben, are you familiar with Film TT and the rebate program they had under the past administration that somehow seems to disappear under this one? Where are we erring as it relates to, or how does the film industry, in your respected opinion, assist with the economy of Trinidad and Tobago?
Well, I mean, the thing is that the reason that there has not been the kind of growth in the creative industry. So the creative industry's context is a $3.17 trillion annual industry on planet Earth. It's the second largest industry on the planet. And it is the growth economy on planet Earth, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas extractive industries and manufacturing industries stall, the creative industries have been the growth industries, have been the entrance economy into the tech economy and the service economies and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's just the context. The reason why Trinidad and Tobago, despite the fact that the creative industries and cultural industries are our comparative advantage, haven't been able to step into the most multi-billion dollar economies is because we haven't put in place the enabling environment of policy, legislation, institution, fiscal enablers, which are ground zero if you want to graduate stuff from just individual talent to cohere into an industry. And the film industry for 7 years was the one industry that we were able to win a series of those enablers for. And so we have a paper trail of what happens when that happens and when we follow international best practice. During that period, more than 300 films were created, series probably like yours and all those other kinds of things. This was from about 2000 and really just keep me there, from 2007 to about 2003 to about 2012, thereabouts.
12, yes.
2012, yeah. Somewhere 7 years, that 7 year period ending around 2012, 2013. Where we existed at best practice, where we had a rebate system, we had all those things, we won all those things. My group, Artist Coalition, we inherited two generations of elders and stuff fighting for those things, and we decided we will take the tack a little differently, and we won those things, leading the cinema industry to those things, and we won that cashier best practice. It existed for 7 years. We had more than $150 million in GDP, in Forex. One during that period, yes. Is foreign films coming in and those things. Those things were scrapped for all kinds of reasons, and a lot of the gains that we made have been being lost, right? So we lost Pirates of the Caribbean, for instance.
Caribbean.
That could have been about, yes, 350 million TT in terms of foreign exchange coming into the country. It would have given Dominica, who did that, who got what we lost because of when we dropped the ball. They are now building their second movie song stage in partnership with major studios. So all of those things could have been happening here. But, politicians, for whatever reasons, do the things that they do. The thing is that if we don't put in place the enabling environment, people believe that have a superstitious belief in terms of how exports happens and entry into foreign markets and stuff happens. It happens because of an enabling environment of policy, legislation, institutions, and enablers. That's how those things happen. There have been four waves of that in the rest of the world, and that's why other places are able to see those in economies. We have not. And the film industry is a perfect example of, it gives us a paper trail of what happens when you do the right thing. Because we could see during that seven-year intervention all the things that we were able to win during that period, and then before and after, there's a clear difference. And so that's what we are trying to consistently pitch to governments, all the different administrations and those kinds of things. You cannot avoid putting in place those enablers. That's the only way you could graduate yourself to the next level.
We have dropped the ball significantly as it relates to the orange economy. For decades, the energy sector seemed to be the driving force that propelled our financial stability as a country. We ignored the green economy. We ignored the orange economy. We talked about diversification, but that didn't happen. Let's take our minds back as we're dealing with multicultural arts and the artisans in this country to the 80s, where we produced series such as Calabash Alley, Sugarcane Arrows, No Boundaries. We didn't have the type of technology that exists today, but those type of series thrived. Persons tuned in to local television series to see their local actors, persons who they would bounce up in the supermarket.
And they are still being viewed today, Davey.
That's right.
All those things existed on the behest of particular personalities. And I'll tip my hat there to Horace James. Who was the person responsible for all those things that you call there, setting those things up in TTT. If Trinidad and Tobago had only simply just continued the programming that we had established by TTT in the 70s, Player of the Month, At Home with Sylvia Hunt, Ricky Tiki, Teen Talent, Scouting for Talent, Best Village, Mastana Bahavia, all those soaps they call Calabash Alley, all of those kinds
Westwood
of things.
Park.
We would be much, 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 much further along now. We would safely have about four or five streaming series on international streaming services. We would have multiple properties and that kind of stuff in major markets and those kinds of things, because we would have graduated and continued to refine our products and stuff.
No,
in Trinidad, it's continually starting over.
Oh my gosh, I took the words right out of my mouth, Rubidary, because when I look at it, I look at not from Westwood Park coming up, you saw Carnival Catwalk, the series, as I mentioned, Bling My Wedding. These are the more recent ones that you know, where they filmed it. Rudy also had his show. There was another sitcom series that came out recently on one of the other stations where actors, and these things die a natural death because, one, the filmmakers endure huge cost to produce the quality work. Here's the messed up thing about this, eh? We in Trinidad and Tobago take money from our economy, purchase foreign content to air locally. So we buy the content, we put it on our local stations, and then we tap into advertising agencies and put ads in there. Then your local film producers and filmmakers struggle for airtime, struggle to get that show out there to build it so that the region can see us.
Let me tell you something. That business model is destroyed at the moment. I mean, every single media platform in this country is under real pressure, right? Because that model of the Chinese shop, and I kind of think they bring down something and they put a $5 markup on it and sell it and those kinds of things as a way of managing media properties and stuff, which is a 19th century kind of version of a 20th century industry. That cannot work anymore. All of those industries are going through major bankruptcy and those kinds of things right now. They're losing and hemorrhaging money in the tens of millions. And their business model, the only model that works right now for media infrastructure owners is content creation. So that's the only way that the newspapers, the radio stations, the television stations, all of them, Toot Moon, are going to survive is through content creation. And that means they have to lean into local content. They have to risk on local content, because the profit margins that you could make on the ones that score. And because you have to go global, you have to be able you have to put it to the marketplace and those kinds of things. That could underwrite you for 2, 3, 4 years. You know, you're talking about millions of dollars, 27 territories planet-wide you can be selling your stuff to. We are wasting time. And so the only way to get people to grow up and to get to that place is to have 50% local content quotas. We have to institute the local content quotas post-haste that will coerce all of the media and broadcast owners to grow up, to be able to propel them to be content creators, to partner with the filmmakers, the musicians, the labels, all of those things on the ground, to be able to now start to create premium content, create all kinds of content, but especially premium content that can now become global content, and we could start to take the Trinidad and Tobago cultural show on the road. And the thing is, music and television are the two mother industries because they combine all the other industries inside of them. They combine everything from heritage, tourism, the fine art, fashion, theater, all of those things are wrapped up. So if you concentrate and get the broadcast industries right, music, television, and film, you will be able to propel all the other arts, carnival, all of those other kinds of things to the next level into billion-dollar earning status, multi-billion-dollar earning status.
Mr. Hanamji, how is PSOT tying into the orange economy? What type of conversations? I mean, Rubidere is just a step, as far as I understand, is just part of something that you have tapped into and no doubt would want to explore in the not-too-distant future. What is PSOT's thoughts and plans ahead in encouraging filmmakers, theater producers, carnival arts, writing, publishers, design and curations, and all these things? How is PSOT getting involved?
So, David, just to remind the persons a bit of my background, I used to be the director of marketing for the film company during part of that period that Rubidere is referring to. So I can tell you firsthand that all of the data is there to support in real time. This country has committed millions of dollars to national strategic planning in all of these sectors. We have every idea known to mankind and every strategy. What we lack is implementation. And you are right, the Dutch disease caught hold of us and we focused specifically on the energy sector. And unfortunately, we did not invest some of those revenues in these other diversification areas to encourage them to be self-sustaining. What can the private sector organization Trinidad and Tobago do? First and foremost, we are right out of the gate ensuring that this spotlight, no pun intended, is placed on the creative space, on the orange economy. But we are also aligning our advocacy efforts with the Ministry of Trade, Investment and Tourism, which has identified culture and the creative sector as one of the 6 subsectors under tourism that will help to drive our diversification efforts. As an analogy, Davey, it's important to note that even in the energy sector, which is our most important one, do you know we did not enforce our local content and local business development provisions, which predated those in Guyana? So even in the most important sector, Davey, we missed the boat. So it is no wonder that in other sectors which have not been respected and given their equitable fair hearing in society, because we ourselves, you started talking, the caller spoke about littering. We ourselves have to start to love our own culture, our own art forms, our own artists. And I always use the steel pan as the world's best example of innovation. Imagine someone looked in the mud and saw a rotting, rusty oil drum and imagined that, whether it was Mr. Simon or others, and they were able to convert that into the world's most beautiful instrument. And Trinidad and Tobago gifted that to the world literally free of charge because we never got our intellectual property. We now have a geolocator, thanks to the work of Pan Trinbago. But I'm bringing these examples together, Davey, to show you that regardless of whichever sector you look at, we as a people have to take full culpability for where we are today. And while we are not crumbling, while the country is still a going concern, now is the time to finally leverage the burning platform, because energy is not going to come and save us. So the PSOTT has joined with the Artists Coalition of Trinidad and Tobago, as we promised to with all other representative groups that represent SMEs in particular. And we are now advocating and working directly with the private sector to ensure that private sector individuals also stand up, DV, and put some more of their capital into these sectors in the right way, within the right parameters, so that we can have successes. And those are some of the ways that we are working with the creative sector. Today, out of the consultation, which is being held from 9 to 12:30 at NAFA, we will be meeting with the stakeholders to identify 3 to 5 core projects that they would like us to focus on. And for the next fiscal year, those are the projects we will advocate around. And we believe that we already are finding, as I told you, across Trinidad and Tobago, there are SMEs who are interested in tourism. They buy into culture and the arts, and they are willing to invest. But our role is to structure everything and bring all the parties together so that we can succeed in a collaborative mode. And that is the one difference, to amplify what Rubidairy Act and other stakeholder groups have been advocating for many decades.
Gentlemen, this conversation, I would encourage part two. There is more exploration needed. And why I suggest that, because of my time, I also want to get updates and share with the listening audience the conversations out of what will take place later today between yourself, Rubidairy Victor, representing the film industry, creative arts, and Peace Out. Rudy?
Thank you very much, Davey. Thank you, Rubidairy. And yes, we will be back. You know, we are committed to transparency, and we enjoy partnering with Freedom 106.5 FM, who has always given a space for these sectors that are sometimes ignored or undervalued to find an equitable space. So thank you, Davey. And I will head off now and start the consultation and report back to you in short order, maybe next week.
I look forward to it. Thank you very much to you, Mr. Hanamji. I think I got that. We'll talk soon. And Rubidairy, I thank you very much. And you have a great day and enjoy the consults. We'll talk next week. All right, guys, that wraps it up for me this morning on The Rumble.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.